You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Health and environmental groups have filed a lawsuit against the APA for rolling back the endangerment finding, a foundation determination that climate pollution is a threat to human health. The Environmental Defense Fund, the Sierra Club, and others have said that the Trump's EPA's action tramples on mountains of scientific evidence and ignores the law and is fundamentally at odds with the EPA's core responsibility to protect us from dangerous pollution. So what happens now that this rule is no longer going to be in place? What happens to our efforts to try to slow down the effects of climate change? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Cyrus Reed is with us from the Sierra Club. So could Congress step in on this?
They could. It's, you know, at the present time, it's probably a bit unlikely. But, yeah, Congress.
Well, not this
could.
Congress.
Yeah, not this Congress. It's very unlikely because, obviously, the present power and the present party in power is, going to be aligned with the president, who is the one who took this action along with EPA Administrator Zetland.
Who really wanted this rule to be cratered?
That's a difficult question to answer. I mean, I think fundamentally, as you've heard the president say, he believes climate change is a hoax. So he believes removing these regulations somehow unfetter our economy and, I guess, lead to more growth. But I know there are many in the Republican Party, and there are many in industry who do believe in climate change. You know, the major oil and gas companies, most of them, for example, have committed to trying to get to zero methane emissions by 2030, as the Biden rule basically says. You have lots of large industry that have climate goals. There are international companies. So I'm not really sure who's behind this. I do know that some of the auto manufacturing companies did not like the clean vehicle standard and wanted it rolled back somewhat. I'm not sure they were on board with, how much he really dumbed it down as part of this. He did sort of a double action, rescinding both the endangerment finding, but also replacing the clean vehicle standard with a much weaker standard. So I do think there are some folks in the auto industry and some folks in oil and gas who are supporting this, but I don't think that's universal. And the problem is it creates sort of a pendulum, right? You have one president come in and say, we're going to move in this direction. The other president moves the exact opposite direction. It actually puts industry in a difficult position on how to plan for the future. And as I said, I do really think it's a competitive disadvantage to, you know, the folks that we're competing with, like China and European Union, which are moving faster into these kinds of technologies that don't produce global warming gases.
Let's go to a phone call. Olivia, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hate to sound so pessimistic, but I think we've missed the boat already. I think globally, our planet is dying, and I think that our species is dying. Our species, our human beings, we have proven that we have just gotten so damn dumb. And I think we need to give up the ship. I think we need to let the planet die. I think we need to let our species die and let something else come in that can appreciate this planet, if the planet can survive. What I keep hearing is politicians talking, you know, Sierra Club and everybody else talking, and nothing is being done. No one is doing anything, as far as I'm concerned, in really helping this planet. And I'm fed up with humanity. And that's all I have to say.
Well, Olivia, I hear you. I feel you. I understand it. But I'm not going to give up. We've missed the boat. Go ahead.
If I could respond very quickly, we're not ready to give up on humanity. We've seen in past administrations that when people come together and when people pressure Congress and the president, good things can happen. We got good rules on methane in that would have cut methane pollution by 80%. We got good rules for future vehicles that would have cut pollution by 50%. So we know we can do it. It doesn't mean there won't be climate change. It's really about making the rate of climate change less so that we can adapt, because we're already sort of past the point where we can say we can reverse it, but we can certainly limit it. And the whole point of many of those, you know, the Paris Accords was, can we limit the growth in global temperatures to two degrees Celsius or even a degree and a half Celsius? And it's still possible, but I agree with the caller that we're dangerously behind, and this administration is making it worse.
I mean, we're already dealing with it. I mean, climate change is here. Why are we still talking about it happening in the future?
Well, yeah, it's already here. The point is, it could get far worse.
Oh yeah,
if we don't.
I mean, but for the people who say it's a hoax, I mean, take a look outside. It's, you know, take a look at the weather patterns, the shortening of the winter. The weather patterns are just not matching up with what history tells us. So, you know, we've got to do more than what we're doing now. I just don't know, you know, what else we can do, particularly when this is not an issue that seems to really resonate with voters.
Yeah, it's difficult, right? Voters tend to look first at the immediate economy, not necessarily the, you know, long term sustainability of the planet. But I think part of what we have to do is also translate this into actual costs. So electric vehicles in general are more expensive than conventional vehicles, but the upkeep and the cost of fueling them is actually much less. And so I think part of it is, how do we translate that into people's thinking of when they purchase? And that was the reason that there were incentives in the Inflation Reduction Act, was to get over that initial hesitancy about
the upfront cost. So the administration is saying that this is going to lower the sticker price of a vehicle in the future, about $2,500 to $3,000. Do you buy that?
I buy that it can lower the initial cost of purchasing vehicles if you don't have to put as much pollution control equipment on it, and you don't move as much to electric vehicles or other types of vehicles that don't have those emissions, you know, hydrogen-fueled vehicles, et cetera. So there is that added upfront costs, but again, the savings in terms of maintaining those vehicles and fueling them makes up for that cost. And then importantly, the added, healthcare costs that emerge because of pollution is another benefit of the previous rule.
Let's go to another caller, Jenny. And Jenny, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just kind of wanted to comment, following up on the last caller, that there is hope, because even if it's not federally or state legislated rules, which is it's a crying shame that it's not, that we don't have better leadership, but ultimately these decisions boil down to the hyper-local level, to our own households, our decisions of what type of cars to buy. There is the market for electric and hybrid vehicles. I drive one myself. I bought all of my family members' Brita filters so they'd stop buying 40 packs of bottled water. You know, there are decisions that we can make in our own household, in the way that we raise our children and the things that we teach them about responsible decisions for the planet and for future generations. We ultimately hold that in our own hands.
All right, Jenny, thank you for your call. Appreciate the optimism and the action that you are putting out there for people, actionable information. And so, Cyrus.
Yeah, and I would say that's true. We can take individual action, although obviously it's harder to counteract federal action like the ones that the Trump administration made earlier this week. But then there's also local government action and
state
government
action. Well, like California, they're trying to do stuff, right?
Yeah, California is trying to do stuff. And even here in Texas, we think of Texas as a conservative state, but we have great programs. Like, we have the Texas Emission Reduction Program, which gives out incentives and grants for cleaner technology, whether it's a diesel truck or even individual vehicles. There are, you know, rebates and programs available for things like fleets that can move, you know, local government fleets into a cleaner direction. So there are programs out there that still exist that aren't part of the federal government that we can continue to advocate for and even increase.
And so you turn to the courts for a remedy, but what's the timeline for court action in order to find that this rule should not be dismissed? I mean, can you get an injunction or something?
The timeline is long because it doesn't start at the Supreme Court, and we think ultimately this goes to the Supreme Court. So we're talking probably not months, probably years. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know if we're able to get an injunction on this. I don't know if that's part of the lawsuit we filed just yesterday. To be honest, all I've read is the opening statement of the. It literally got filed yesterday. So I can't tell you whether we're seeking an injunction. I don't know that. But I know it will take some years. There are a number of lawsuits on multiple environmental laws and rules going on. I know the recent decision by Trump to delay the methane rule. We have also gone to court on that. So we're hoping that we can get them to actually implement the methane rule that went into effect in early 2024. So we'll see, but a lot of these will play out in courts, and ultimately we're probably going to need a different Congress and a different administration to move a lot of these policies forward.
Cyrus Reed is the Sierra Club Texas Legislative Director, giving us an update on what happens when the federal government, they rolled back, they ended a critical EPA rule, the endangerment finding. Cyrus, thank you so much for helping us through this.
Yes, I appreciate being on, and I appreciate the listeners opining as well.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.